Welcome to Chapter 12, The Definition of a Real Friend.
I met Lou at Sunwell just about within the first year that I was there. The first 6 months after being hired, I spent in class. And then I was assigned an area, and Lou was the specialist, the motor oil specialist. Of all the people I met in my time at Sun Oil, no one had a broader knowledge of oil, from the crude to the can. He was an expert in this. Lou was a commander in the Navy. He was an underwater demolitions expert, and he, every year at the Army-Navy game, he escorted the Secretary of the Navy. So Lou had been in the, Lou was in the reserves when I met him, and I remember when the Vietnam War was over, and they had, during the war, they had mined the Haiphong Harbor, and when they were going to demine it, there were only two people in the country that were qualified to disarm these mines. So Lou was called up by the Navy and basically disappeared for 6 months. I didn't know whether he ran off with a 19-year-old or what, but no one knew where he was, including his wife, until he returned. But Lou was a unique person. His parents were from Lebanon. He spoke fluent Arabic, and he was his own person. I met him, like I said, in the first year at Sun Oil. He lived in our, in the Philadelphia area. And I remember the first summer he invited, at that time, this was about my second year perhaps at Sun Oil. I was divorced, and as I mentioned earlier, I had two small children. And anyway, Lou had a party at his house, kind of like a welcome kind of party, and invited me and brought my two daughters with me. And that's the first time he had met them. And they fell in love with him. Among other things, he jumped in the pool with all of his clothes, his wallet, everything. The boy, he didn't care. He was a character. So anyway, he and I, we hit it off, and he was somebody that really took his job serious. He was responsible for some of the largest accounts in Sun Oil, both in construction, and he was also the fleet specialist, whether it be buses or trucks or cars. He was an expert mechanic, so not only did he know the oil, but he knew the engine. So anyway, about 2 years into the job, which I liked, and I was productive, when management at Sun Oil, which at that time was a very paternalistic company, J. Howard Pugh, which was 90, he was 90 then, his grandfather founded the company. He still went to work every day. So anyway, I get a call from my boss, and I walk into the office, and his boss was there, and they laid this on me. They said, listen, we really feel it would be in the best interest of Sun Oil and yourself if you were to resign, because now that you're divorced, that really is not the image that we want to project. I thought to myself, what in the world is going on here? And I explained, well, you know, the divorce wasn't my idea, and they said it didn't matter. They just thought it was in everybody's best interest. Now, I had been productive. I mean, I'd been fairly new on the job, but even in a short period of time, I was productive in the sales part. So anyway, I was shocked, and it was not the high point of my life. But I decided, I collected my thoughts, and I said, listen, I'm not quitting. Why don't you just go ahead and fire me? And that's how I left it. And then nothing happened after that. And about, I don't know, a few months later, Lou and I had occasion to be out to lunch. And I asked him, you know, I was telling him the story about this. He had been on the road, so I didn't get much chance to chat with him. Anyway, I told him about this experience. And I said, you know, I thought that was it. And Lou told me, he said, you know, I heard about that. And he said, I went to the boss, his boss, and told him I didn't think that was a good idea. He told the boss that he had met my daughters and, you know, and that this was not a good idea, that they needed to move on from this, that I was productive, and that was it. And I realized because of Lou's power in the company, that was enough. And we really didn't know each other that well, but I never forgot that. And then later on, a few years down the road, Lou, as I mentioned earlier, was called up for 6 months. No one knew where he was. And my ex remarried a three-tour Vietnam soldier, and he was having a difficult time getting a job. A job, certainly the ideal job was one where his Navy time would be credited towards seniority. So, and that was not easy to come by. He applied at the Naval Shipyard in Philadelphia. And when he went to follow up, my ex told me that, you know, he wasn't in the top 100 people to be interviewed. So anyway, I asked Lou, I said, Lou, listen, if you know anybody that the Navy Yard or could find out anything, I would really appreciate that. He said, because, you know, he's trying to get a job, and, you know, this would be an ideal place because he would get credit for the years he spent in the service. So Lou asked me one question. He said, would it help Colleen and Patty, my daughters? I said, yes, it would. The next day, my ex's husband got a call, and within a couple of weeks, he was hired. I'll never forget that. So they are the two instances where one person showed up on my behalf way beyond anything I ever thought, and basically babysat me, kept me employed at Sunoil, and then made a difference in my daughter's family and in their lives, because Bobby, my ex's husband, stayed and retired from the Navy Yard in 20-some years. So it really made a big difference. He made a big difference in my life. And you don't find many people like that. Now, to show you what happened later on, when they had the oil embargo in the mid-70s, Lou was hired away from Sun Oil by Charter Oil, and was made president for two reasons. He was a Navy SEAL, well, a frogman then, and he spoke fluent Arabic. And he was able, they trusted him, the Arab countries, in the oil negotiating in the Middle East when America was not doing real well with OPEC. And Lou had a tremendous job. That was a big jump. And I remember him calling me once from a home that Charter Oil rented for him in Jacksonville. He said, Jimmy, he said, there's a button under my table. I'm having dinner. When I hit the button, the maid comes out. He was just a cool guy and the true definition of friend. And I remember where I was when I got a call from his brother that Lou had died. He had cancer of the esophagus, and it was the first time in my life somebody that close to me died. When I went to Lou's funeral and went back to his house for a luncheon, I was introduced to the finance minister of Abu Dhabi, and I will never forget what he said to me. He said, "Jimmy, if I could have bought Lou back, I would have. He's probably one of the few people on earth that had enough money to do that, if it was possible." But I will never forget that. Charter Oil, during that embargo years, they had something as the president. They had a person that no other oil company had in America. They had a highly respected naval officer who was an oil expert, who was an Arab American that spoke fluent Arabic. And he had the respect of the Arab countries at a time when other American companies did not have that advantage. So he made his mark, and I will never forget a person saying that he would have bought him back if he could. That's my boy Lou, my friend. Thank you for listening.
Up next, Things I Learned by Dating a Jewish Girl.